Well, praise God. I'm just so excited because I know that God wants to do so much with us. You know, you may be sitting here thinking, well, actually, what has God got in store for me? God has got in store for you great things, wonderful things, exciting things, because you're his precious child. And for no other reason, but God loves to use those that are nothing to prove his greatness and his glory. And, you know, that's why God wants to do so much in you and what he wants to do in our church. And I'm really excited because of this conference that's coming up, that we know that that's going to just be another opportunity for God to move, for us to position ourselves, put ourselves in a place to receive. You know, our lives are so busy, aren't they? I don't know about you, but just trying to get three kids out of the house in the morning, I mean, it is a military operation to try and get them out to school. And, you know, people like Tyron and Jenny and others that have got, you know, four kids, I just don't know how they do it. If you could see us in the morning, we're so busy, you know, doing, and all of us have got busy lives. So it's great actually to take time out and to position ourselves to receive from God. And yes, we can do that every Sunday, but there are special opportunities. And I think the conference is one of those times where we can just set it aside to really press into God and let God speak to us. And people saying, yeah, it's not that that's the only time and the only place that God can speak to us, but you know, it is time to set aside those opportunities to receive. And you know, what we put in one sense is what we're going to get out. So I really encourage you to come along. If you just come along the Sunday and you just, well, yeah, you'll get something, but you know, if you really make it a priority, come along and receive from God. It's not about people coming from the Isle of Man or from this place. It's receiving, putting ourselves in a position to receive from God and from the Holy Spirit and to be filled up. So I encourage you to come and to do that. And I know even this morning that God wants to do something of just pouring out his Spirit, touching lives, encouraging people. And we'll have a time at the end of the service for us to receive, to be prayed for, to be ministered to this morning. Because we spoke about how this year God wants us to increasingly be open and receptive to God's Holy Spirit. And very little, actually, do we give time for people to be ministered to and prayed to. And so more and more throughout this year, we're going to be you know, giving opportunity for the Holy Spirit to move. Now, do you know that God loves to set people free? Do you know that? Even just, you know, when I was thinking about Moses and, you know, that whole big statement, set my people free. You know, that was always God's ambition, was to take people from bondage and bring them into freedom. And, you know, that was a land of captivity, but God wanted to take the children of Israel from a land of captivity, and he wanted to bring them into a place of blessing and into a place of freedom. And, you know, that's kind of a picture of what God wanted to do and what God did with us. That was a physical picture of what God wanted to do and what God wants to do with us spiritually, isn't it? God wants his people to be free, liberated, different, you know, carefree. And I've got some scriptures that I want to read to you just to emphasize that and encourage you this morning. So the message this morning is about being set free and receive. You know, that could be being set free from bondages. It could be being set free from just oppression. It could be being set free from old mindsets of the past. Could just be being set free and being released into something new. You know, you don't have to be all withered and, you know, just oppressed to get something more of God. Whoever you are here this morning, if you desire it, God wants to give you more of his life, more of his Spirit. In one sense, we have received of his Spirit. When we gave our lives to Christ, we received all of Jesus. There's nothing in one sense more that he can do. But the amazing thing about God is that he wants to pour into our lives, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing, that he wants us to be in that state of having abundance in our lives. It's not that we're asking God to do as it were, more, because he's done everything that he can do, but he desires for us to be living in that state of being in that place of just being filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, guided by the Spirit, and to be influenced by the Spirit. And it's, as we were saying last week, it's a great place, because actually when we're filled, we don't have to struggle and we don't have to fight with all the tensions and the difficulties that we live in. Now let me read some scriptures to you. Romans 8 verse 2 says, "Through Christ, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death." You know this, Proverbs 18 verse 10, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe." Wow. Awesome. Let me turn over my pages here. "For it is freedom, for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." 2 Samuel 27. "The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted by God, the rock of my Savior. He is the God who avenges me, who sets me free from all my enemies." John 8 says, Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you..." Come on, you've got to help me. I'm not trying to catch you out. Yes. Thank you, Danelia. Okay. Here's one for Peter. Isaiah 46. "Even in your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who sustains you. I made you. I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you." Isn't that that's God's intention for you? Amazing. Look, the last one I've got. I mean, I've got a whole load. Oops, I've got a load here. Psalm 34. Thank you. "I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears." I'm going to need that back, Henry. Yeah. Oh, is it blank? Is it okay? "I sought the Lord. He answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears." And lastly, Hebrews 9, did I read this? "For this reason, Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free." That is the amazing love and the work of the Spirit and of the life of Christ, of what he wants to do in you every day, but what he wants to encourage us with this morning. So I wanted to talk a little bit about worship as well, as we've got the worship conference coming up, and to talk about as well, you know, what does it mean to worship? Because one of the aspects of worship is to be set free. You know, there's something when we come into God's presence. Being in God's presence transforms and changes us. You know, Ian was talking about, you know, this man that was oppressed, and you know, there's nothing like getting into the presence, being immersed by the presence of God, being touched by the presence of God, to have that oppression, depression, the stuff that the struggles that we go through being lifted off. And so this morning, it will be wonderful to be able to pray for people this morning to be again filled, encouraged, set free, moved on, refocused on Jesus. So just thinking about worship, you know, what does true worship mean? Thinking about, you know, we're going into this weekend as an introduction. What does true worship mean? It's not just leaping around and clapping and shouting, which is fabulous to do. I love that. The Bible says that we should be quiet and we should be still, but it also says that we should shout, we should lift up our hands, we should make a joyful sound to the Lord. But you know, the heart of worship is that we are humbled, that we lower ourselves down, and that he is exalted. Now, that can be done in a quiet way. That can be done in a loud way. That can be done with dancing. It can be done on our knees. But the heart of it is that we humble ourselves and that God is exalted. that he is lifted up. And it's interesting because when you look in the Bible, any single person that came in to the presence of God was changed. Or there was something that happened. So like Moses, when he came, he saw the burning bush and God spoke. What did he do? He took off his shoes. What did the high priest do when the high priest went in into the presence of God? He prepared himself. He dressed himself. He prepared himself to go and meet in the presence of God. When people met with God, there was an expectation that they were going to prepare themselves, that they were something was going to happen. When something happens when we understand that we're in the presence of God. When we're in the presence of God, there is always a response to him, to his love, to his forgiveness, to his power, to his awesome presence. When we get into his presence and we recognize he's there, you know, our hearts cannot stay the same, can they? You know, that's the difference between just singing songs and being in the presence of God and really worshiping. There's a response from our heart to him. And sometimes, even when we're in that place, sometimes we feel convicted. Sometimes we think, oh my goodness, okay, I need to, is this area or that area? And you know, that's great. We just, Lord, in your mercy, please forgive me, wash me, restore me. Thank you. Now I can stand before you completely accepted, washed, covered by your blood. Sometimes we come into God's presence, just overwhelming sense of joy and excitement and wow. You know, it's, but when we come into God's presence, it's important for us to let there be a response to his holiness, to his goodness in our lives. Revelation 4, verse 8 to 10. And we're just thinking about this idea of being set free in God's presence. Being set, God doesn't want to squash us. Doesn't want to oppress us. His agenda is that we are set free. His agenda is that we are released into life. The enemy wants us down, discouraged, destroyed, but Jesus wants to bring us into life and freedom, and he's got everything that is good planned for you, which is absolutely awesome. Revelation 4, verse 8 to 10. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and covered with eyes all around. Wow. Even under his wings, day and night and forever, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, and who lives forever, and the 24 elders bow down before him who sits on the throne, and they worship him who lives forever, and they lay their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O God, our Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." In the presence of God, responding to him. Responding to him. That's what is going on. That's a picture of what is going on in heaven. Holy, holy. They fall down. And in verse 9, the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne. It's in the present. It's happening. It's talking about what the activity in their life or what's happening in heaven. It's happening right now. Holy, holy, holy. You know, God's got, you know, we sang, I think it was one of the songs this morning, there must be more than this. That was a line, I think, that was in one of the songs this morning. You know, that's the type of worship that God, and lifestyle, not just in our service, but that's the type of lifestyle and the type of response that God wants to enthuse us with. That we don't just carry on and do stuff in church as we have done for years, or we don't live the same as we have done, but that actually God wants to take us into a new depth of relationship, of revelation of his love, of response to him. Really believe that God wants to take us to that place where we're living in that a place of appreciation and of intimacy with God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You are worthy. You are everything. And in that place of adoration and love, you know, it's amazing that when we see God for who he truly is, and we kind of see us for who we are, it's amazingly releasing. It's amazing that, you know, we don't need to struggle or strive or fight. You know, he's God. And I can't do anything without him. And he's worthy of praise. And I'm going to praise him. And out of my mouth is going to come words of thanksgiving and praise. Actually, I'm going to change from speaking negatively to be speaking words of faith, encouraging words, because he's worthy of it. I'm his child. Psalm 99, let's turn to Psalm 99. Psalm 99, verse 1 to 5. The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim, let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The King is mighty. He loves justice. You have established equity. In Jacob, you have done what is right and just. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. Holy, or he is holy. Holy is he. You know, one of the things I want to encourage us as we're just thinking about the worship conference, but not just that, about our lifestyle of worship, a lifestyle of appreciation, a love for God. The first thing that we need to do is to have in our hearts a heart to exalt God, to worship him, to lift him up, to raise the focus onto him. You know, as we come on our Sunday mornings, as we come to meet together corporately, if we come to honor and to worship him, you know, that's a great thing, and that's what the Bible says that we should do. It's the right thing to do. I know sometimes we come in with all kinds of thoughts and stuff that has been going on in the week, but when we exalt him and we come into the presence of God, and God's presence is powerful in this place when we come together in a corporate sense, we're going to be changed, transformed, and touched by God and by his presence. So we exalt him. We humble ourselves and we lower ourselves in the sight of God. You know, some people, you know, that's a challenge to do that. But as we exalt God and we humble ourselves, we lower ourselves down. You know why that's important? So that the focus is not on us or our problems or our burdens. Actually, that the focus is upon him. There's a man with a beret walking by. Hello, man with the beret. There you go. The focus is not on us or the man on the berry, but the focus is on God. And, you know, it's very simple, but it's so easy to, you know, as we come together to worship, that we've got stuff going round and round and round in our mind about this thing that we've got to do. You know, when we come together to worship, it's so important that we, as much as possible, lay those things behind and exalt him. And, you know, as I say, in that place of exalting him, That's where God's going to set you free. That's where God's going to move in power. That's where God's going to liberate you. That's where God's going to give you revelation. That's the place where God's going to give you discernment. That's the place where you're going to see the change happening. Now let's look in 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties, your cares, your worries, your problems, your difficulties, those things that are weighing you down, those things that are on your mind. Cast them onto him, because he cares for you. In other words, get rid of them. Get rid of it. Get rid of the stuff that is holding you back and weighing you down. Cast it onto him. Get rid of it. Chuck it out. Throw it away. Boot it away from you. Cast your cares, the Bible says, onto him. Let our worship, let our lives, let our minds, let everything that we be about be centered upon him. And not ourselves and our problems and our worries and the stuff that is going on. You know, a place of strength is when we are centered upon him. Is that right? Yes. That's the place where our minds, our hearts are focused upon him. I heard of an illustration of what it is like to cast our cares onto God. And in the Middle East, I don't think I've ever ridden a camel. In the Middle East, have I ridden? No, I haven't ridden a camel. Caleb rode a camel. I never rode a camel. Those things spit. And they've got bad breath. But in the Middle East, they use camels, and they're a bit like their lorries, you know, that they put all of the loads on there, and they would be used, and they were specially adapted. They could walk in the desert. They got humps on their back, and they got webbed feet, and they're very strong. And if the camel owner, and I've just got this thought in my mind of this little sort of like Arab type man, you know, sort of running alongside, you know, a big camel with a stick. And but if the little man was running along with his camel, and the camel was kind of like laden down with all of this weight, there was no way that this little man could take the cargo and take the stuff off the camel. So he would have a command that he would give to the camel, which would allow the camel to sit down and roll over, and so that this little man could come along and take it off. And you know, I'm thinking that When the command was given for the camel to bend down and roll over, the burden would be lifted off. And that's probably not the right analogy to use, because all you can think about now is this little man running around just with it. But you know, there is a command, there is an encouragement for us to, as it were, stop, roll over, and to let God lift the... That's one of the aspects of worship. For God to remove the burdens so that we're not a group of camels walking around foaming at the mouth and spitting. That actually, that God, as it were, removes the burden from us. And sometimes we need to hear God's instruction to us to stop, to lie down and to, and we heard it, cast all your cares and your anxieties onto me. And I think that's what one of the things God wants to do as an aspect of our worship, about being set free, freedom, life, not being oppressed, not carrying, being touched and refreshed by God's Spirit. Let's just turn to Psalm 98. And I'll end this because it'll be great for us just to have a few moments to pray and to let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do with whoever wants God to do something in their life this morning. If we go on to over 10 past, please go and collect your children. But let's not just say, okay, that we can't pray for people because, you know, the time is up. Let's be free. But the children's workers will be expecting the children to be picked up at 10 past. So if you have children, go free. If you don't and you want some prayer and just some encouraging this morning from God, then please stay around. Psalm 98. Sing to the Lord a new song. For he has done... Just drink it in. He has done... What has he done? He has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Isn't it fantastic that we've actually got something to shout about? Awesome. We have got the best and greatest news to shout about. That we have a Savior who is alive, who's redeemed us, who will never let us down, who's given us an assurity of eternal life to come and life to the full right now. It is awesome. And I've said it time and time again, but you are living the dream. This is it. Woo! Enjoy the ride. Verse 5, make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and with the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. And I mean, let's read the rest of it. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth, and he will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. We've got something that to sing about, to rejoice about. You know, when we're filled with God's power, we can sing a new song. We can sing in the Spirit. We can sing in tongues. We can sing just out of our spirit's response to God. We're not just stuck to words on a page or words up there. We've got words from our heart of praise and love that we can sing and respond to God. Actually, sometimes I would like to just cut the lead of this thing and say, come on, let's just let the words of thanksgiving each and every one of us have got that song of the Spirit to pray and to worship and thank God for. It's just, you know, somebody actually took the time to write those words and put them down as an aid for us to worship. But actually, we don't need those. A heart of a worship is humbling ourselves, exalting him. And, you know, we can all say, thank you. We can all say, I love you. We can all say, I worship you. We can all say, I adore you. We can all say thank you for what you've done. We can all say thank you for saving me. You can, you know, we all have our own words and our own songs of thanksgiving and of worship to God, haven't we? Sometimes you think, oh, actually, I might not know what to say or how to string it together. Actually, it's so easy. Somebody took the time to write those words down and put them down. But you have them as well. And, you know, as we come to worship God, you know, in our personal times, but as a church, we want to release that more in you, that spontaneous worship and praise that comes from our heart and our spirit, not necessarily just words that somebody else has written. Do you understand what I mean? Because you have it in you. You have the Holy Spirit in you, and God wants us to really develop that and respond to him because he is worthy. Something that is spontaneous, not planned, not thought through by you, but something of God's Spirit moving. Beautiful. Just letting God move. And so it would be great. We would love to pray for you. I'm not saying that you need to be oppressed of the devil this morning to come and be prayed for. You know, it's sometimes we think that, oh, well, I'm doing all right, so I don't need anybody to pray. You know, sometimes it's great just to come and for God, someone to stand with you and just pray with you or believe with you for something or just pray God's blessing upon you so that we can remain in that place of being filled and that place of revelation of being set free from God. So I think the band's going to come up and just play for us. And I think some of the leaders, home group leaders and other leaders, are going to come out. And if no one comes out, you guys pray for each other. No, I'm just joking. Should we stand? Let's all stand together. And I think, you know, this is a preparing time for us as well for what God wants to do this coming weekend. And so let's just pray. And then we're just going to play. And if you just want someone to pray for you, to bless you this morning, then come out and let's just let God do what he wants to do this morning. And just let him pour out his love and pour out his power. Yeah, and let God move this morning. Okay, Denise just wants to share something.
This morning I felt the Lord say that he's not a selfish God. He's a God of abundance. And some of us, when you're set free, we are, I didn't know this is what Steve was going to talk about, but it was about that he wanted freedom, true freedom, abundant, exuberant freedom, and he wanted his children to walk in that. And the picture I got was of people that were shackled, and when you're a slave, you're half naked, mostly naked, beaten up, and in shackles. Your arms are in shackles, you can't move, your ankles are shackled together. And when we come to Christ, our feet are freed, our arms are freed, we can raise our hands. But God doesn't just leave us like that, he also robes us. And the picture I got was that he was putting robes of righteousness on his children, and it wasn't just like a piece of cloth, it was a beautiful silk, textured, embroidered, deep red cloth that was so expensive, and that was the blood of his son. And I felt like God saying he wants us to be robed. Some of us don't want to be robed because we believe, well, we're in Christ, so that's okay. So it takes something to stand there and humble ourselves in our worship today and allow God to just put his cloak over us, his robe over us, that we can be warmed in his presence and we can receive the love that he has for us and be set free.
I just felt this morning that the Lord was saying, I'm a God of abundance. And some of you are thinking, I want God. Do I have to meet him halfway? And God's saying, I don't want you to meet me halfway. All I want you to do is be humble and say, here I am, God. And I will meet you the full way. You don't have to climb a mountain. You don't have to walk a mile. You have to say, Lord, here I am. And the Lord will run out and reach to you. The same way that the father who saw the prodigal son coming down the mountain, he did not wait for the prodigal son to come halfway. He didn't wait for the prodigal son to knock on the door. He saw him up on the hill. He saw his heart had changed. And he ran to meet him the full way. And I feel the Lord saying to you today that I am willing to meet you the full way. If you will turn your hearts, if you would humble yourselves, if you'll say, here I am.
Okay, if you would like to be prayed for this morning, please come out. That's a great prayer to say, God, here I am. I'm available. I'm presenting myself to you, God. And let's do that this morning. And let's just let the Holy Spirit move, and let's release what he wants to do in the lives of us this morning. So we're just going to play for a few minutes. Please come. As you're sitting there, don't sit down. Let's just continue to worship and really exalt him in our hearts this morning.